you talked with the Lord and told him your heart.
All right. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, she had found Jesus. She had found him. She began to fall in love with him. She began to ask him for his kisses, his love, his encounters. In chapter 2, she saw him. Chapter 1, she saw him as the shepherd. In chapter 2, she sees him as the roe, the deer. And he begins to try to call her away to Mount Bethel. And she was told by the roe, come away, come to the mountain of Bethel. Separate yourself from your other loves. Separate yourself from things that are taking your attention away from me. And come away from all the things that are holding you back here. And let's go to a higher place. Now the bride represents those who are growing in Christ to the point where they want to be a hundredfold Christian. I do not believe that every Christian is a hundredfold Christian. And I believe that he's calling you to be a hundredfold. He talked about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. He talked about the different resurrection morning days. Some will rise like a star, some like a bright star, some like the moon, and some like the sun. Their glory is in difference. They are different from one another. So there are degrees of glory. There's degrees of relationship. I believe the bride is in her class of the five wise virgins who will hear the call of the bridegroom that is coming and will go in to meet with him and be married to him for eternity. People who do not pursue Christ with 100% passion will be left right on the outside of that.
That's right.
I do not want to be on the outside. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can possibly get.
Amen.
And the bridegroom was telling her, or the roe was telling her in chapter 2, that it was no longer winter. Do you remember that? It's no longer winter. The spring has come. He's telling her to come. The singing of the birds is in the land. The singing of the turtle dove. It's time to come up now. You've been through the winter, which means he has built faith in you. You learn faith through difficulty. You do not usually learn faith through good times.
Amen. That's right.
And the closer you grow to Jesus, the more you realize that the difficulties, the muscle-building difficulties, are going to make you either pursue God or fall away.
Yeah.
Bible said to seek the Lord while he may be found. Now, that's not just talking about during a 100-year season. What he's talking about is on a daily basis. There are times that the bridegroom calls you to prayer and intercession. There's times that the bridegroom calls you to come away with him during your everyday life. And if you don't follow it and you think, I'll do it later, the anointing is not there to do it later. Amen?
Amen.
He has gone on without you. And then you try to play catch up and it doesn't work. He has teach you. If I was teaching my child to obey me and I would say, come here right now, and they would say later, someday it could be their life. I may be calling them not to step off the curb. I may be calling them there's a snake and I don't have time to explain what's going on. They need to hear me say, stop and come back right away.
Yeah.
This is what God is telling you, not only for your sake, but the life of your intercession takes on a different force all its own. And you are interceding, not all the time, but most of the time, you're interceding for others and a lot of times people you do not know.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is looking for those who will intercede and be instant in season and out. Well, I don't feel like praying. That's out season. Be instant. Amen?
Yeah, right.
Be instant right then.
Yeah.
That's a mature Christian. Someone that doesn't do it because they're in the mood to do it. They don't do it because they feel like doing it. They do it because it's to be obedient to God.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And when you're obedient to God, he begins to crown you with many crowns just like he's crowned.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. people for the kingdom, but most of all, to be in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now we found out in the last chapter that the bride was had hid herself where?
Behind the wall.
Behind the wall and the lattice. He had invited her to come out. She lost the bridegroom somewhere between My Will Road and Complacency Road. She got complacent and her will did not want to move on, and that's where she lost the bridegroom. Listen, when you don't obey God, He will step back further and further and further away from you. Do you want that?
No.
Listen, you're going to need Him sometime like that. You're going to need Him to be there that close. If He has to come, spiritually speaking, from a distance to answer your prayer, it's going to take some time because He's got to teach you some things. Whereas if He's right there with you and you're tracking with God, then you've got an answer that's a little bit closer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. So now let's go on. She did not come out from behind her wall. She did not go to the Mount Bethel with Him. She stayed there. And then this is what happens. Are we ready for this? By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. Mm-hmm. How many precious prayer appointments have we missed on Mount Bether because of the little foxes that we discussed last week that have spoiled the vine? The little foxes that come in to your life every day and your thoughts and snatch away the dedication that you need for that day.
Right.
The zeal for that day. The fire for that day. The willpower for that day. The little foxes come in and they see the little tender grapes, especially when you're growing in an area. The devil, the fox wants to steal away that new growth before it can mature. Because once it matures, he's not allowed in that garden because you know that there's a harvest and you're guarding it more closely. While on her bed of ease, she's on her bed by night. Night means what in the spirit realm? Trials, difficulties. It's dark. But she wants to nurse herself, so she's, now we find her not behind a wall, but in the bed of ease. Many times as Christians, we get on a high with God, and then we feel that peace and that relaxation in the spirit realm, and we forget that we have to be called to war like that. We have to be called to serve like that. One minute he's saying rest, the next minute he's saying come away. You've got to know what he's saying for that hour.
Yes.
And here she was on this bed of ease. And then she decides to seek him and she can't find him. Don't be surprised many times when you really, really need God and he's not that close. But does that mean you stop?
No.
No. No way.
Does that mean you give up?
No.
Does that mean you say, oh, well, I'll just never get this together. I might as well leave. No, because you're going to need a God's covering blood when you stand in the judgment seat of Christ. You are all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And before we give back the gift that he's given us back to him, he's going to call us on the carpet about what we did with it. I believe that. Our sins are forgiven, yes. But the gifts he gave us, we have to answer to God for.
Amen, that's true.
Now that the separation has taken place and he's not right there, there's three things that she becomes aware of. First of all, she becomes aware of her need for him like she never knew it before. You never miss something till it's gone. I had a young man write me. He got saved in our tent meeting in Texas, Ricky Smith. And he wrote me, he's in the Army now. He said, I can't feel God anymore. He said, I tried to reach him and I can't find him. He seems so far away. I said, that's because you're separated you from God, Ricky. I said, but you need to make up your mind you're going to find him again.
Yeah.
And he wrote back, he said, I'm going to start right away. He's got to pray at grandma, so he's going to have to find it.
Oh, God.
The other thing separation from the Lord does is we see problem areas in our life. Because when the presence of God is not close, you begin to have a flesh eruption. You begin to have a volcano of flesh and lava spew out of you. Oh, man, I'm just talking about me. Whenever God's presence isn't right there and you haven't crucified your life every single day, the devil will find an opportunity to get you into a place where that flesh just starts spewing out. And then you're behind the eight ball. You're feeling guilty and you don't want to go to God. You're pulling an Adam.
Yeah.
Running and hiding from God.
Yeah.
The third thing is this separation from the king, from the bridegroom, begins to awaken a new hunger in her. Because once you feel that you once possessed, and this is what Ricky said in his email to me, he said, I feel like half of me is missing now. I said, it's more like 99% of you is missing now that you backslid. Suddenly, your hunger is awakened for him because you realize that there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
When he's no longer there, many times when people split up, a marriage splits up, that's when the mate realizes how much that person meant to them, right? You know, it's like, oh, even when they go on vacation, Billy was gone about 5 days to Florida. Boy, did we really missed him. He's quiet, but we missed him. Amen?
Amen.
So when Jesus had separated from her, she knew that she had a need that she was not aware of before. She saw problem areas in her life, and she was awakened to a new hunger. When sin separates you from God, you have one thing going for you. You have a spiritual sense, a memory that draws you back. You remember the times he was close. You remember the special touches that you had. You remember the prayer that grandma prayed. You remember the times around the old family altar if you had one. You remember being in the service where God forgave you of your sins. That memory is a sense, just like smell is a hope. It means hope in the spirit realm. So you have that memory that will call you back to Jesus over and over. There's times that I don't feel him so close, and that's when I have to stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
It's what they used to tell us to get a fire out if we get a fire on us. Sin has separated her, and her memory of his presence, the smell and the aroma, the memory of his voice, the memory of his touch, the memory of what it felt like, the memory of what it was like to cry unashamedly in his presence, the desire to have him at all times living and breathing through her, her ability to have a right word to give to people in need, all those memories come flooding back, and she no longer desires us. The correction of the Lord is always rooted in affection. His correction is not rooted in anger, it's rooted in affection. If he doesn't love you, look out. If he's not after you, look out. Because he's only going to be after you in two ways. One, for you to repent, or his full wrath is going to fall. Those are the only two ways you're going to find him. Amen?
Yeah.
His corrections are rooted in affection. Correction means he's working with you.
Yeah.
As long as you have a relationship with someone, you're working at it. You're trying to understand one another. And that's working it out or working it through. This affection is a fire that consumes everything except the bride in the bridegroom. He is jealous for you. He is a jealous lover. He's jealous over everything that takes your attention away from him. Oh, yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does. He's jealous over everything that takes your attention away. Why? Because it's better to do things with him than to do things without him. Amen?
Yeah.
It's never favorable to do them by yourself.
That's right.
Jesus said, I do nothing except my Father shows me. He did nothing without the Father. And if you think that your spiritual life is on one page and your rest of your life is on another page, you've got another thing coming. Amen? It's just one book.
That's right.
It's one book. Hallelujah. Your spirit life, you don't lay down at Bible study and walk away from it. You don't lay it down after Sunday service. You carry it with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You hold in your emotions and your feelings and your passions because you'd rather have the crucifixion of the flesh than to walk and wake up one day on that bed of ease with him far away.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Carnal mind will never understand this consuming fire that desires to burn everything that separates. But he knows that what separates you hurts you. What separates you from Jesus will hurt you.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows. He's doing it out of love. When you tell your children no, you're not doing it just because you want to see pleasure with hell. You're doing it because you know what will hurt them. I told my children while they were growing up, I said, never take on anything that you don't want to own you.
Yeah.
Mm. The minute you take up a passion, the minute you take up something that fulfills you in the world, it will own you.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, you will have to fight that thing. If you never took it up, you wouldn't have that fight.
Amen.
You'd already have it under your feet.
Come on.
The carnal mind doesn't understand this fire that consumes. But you've got to trust your bridegroom. He knows what's best for you.
Yeah.
He knows where you'll be happiest and most satisfied. Holy means separation, distinctness, uniqueness, totally other than. Totally other than anything else that we are or think. By her wall, he was still seen. But at this time, he is not seen. What is the difference? When she was behind the lattice in the wall, he was peeking through the lattice, giving her glimpses of himself. Now she wakes up and she can't find him. What is the difference? Anybody know? Got an idea?
He's not pursuing.
Yeah, he's not pursuing her at this point. See, you'll go through seasons where I had a girl say one time, well, I still feel the presence of the Lord. And she'd gone back to doing drugs. She said, the Lord's still with me. I said, don't be deceived, because when you wake up and he's not there, he may never come back.
Not for long, yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
He's gone. Now, there are nights in your life, and she's in one of them. And let me name some of those nights. You have the nights that are the nights of moral failure. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. The moral failure nights are the times that you are in temptation and when you have failed God. When you're in temptation and fail God, you bring on a nighttime, a night season in your life. Then another night is a circumstantial night, which means darkness is brought on by circumstances outside of you, probably. Maybe an accident, maybe someone you love got hurt. Another night is the physical night, where there's a desperation strong enough to overcome sleep. Talking about the nights where you feel the loneliness of not having him as close as you desire. And those nights, you just struggle and grab a hold of the horns of the altar and say, I'm not leaving if I never eat another bite. I'm not leaving unless you come. I'm not going forward until you come. Because that's all it's about. It's about him coming. Amen?
Yeah.
He's got to come.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can't. anything.
That's right.
Glory to God. He will not stay in her comfort zone on this bed because it's counterproductive. There's only one way she's going to bring the bridegroom back, and that's through obedience. She's going to have to learn to be obedient. He's going to stay at a distance until she learns the cost of disobedience. I'm going to say that again. He's going to stand at a distance until she realizes the price she is having to pay for being disobedient. Don't blame God when trials come, because they're either to prune you or to cut off something you don't need in the first place. Isaiah 64:7 says, "Is there anyone who calls upon God's name, who stirs himself to take hold of God?" That's God asking a question to you. Is there anyone here tonight who wants him bad enough to stir themselves up to grab a hold of him? Anybody? Is anybody here tonight that desires him enough to lay down anything that's in the way, separating? Will anyone desire tonight to lay hold of God? What does that mean? You chase him. He chased you first, and now he wants you to chase him, because he wants to take you up. He wants to take you higher, and he's not going to stay on this lower plane all the time petting your flesh.
That's right. Come on.
He's going to go on to Mount Bether. Where did he go? In the last verse, go back to, right there. The last thing she said to him, "Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether." She said, "Go ahead and go to the mountain. Go ahead and go." He did go. Now look at the dilemma she's in. She says in verse 2, "I will rise now and go about the city in the streets." Now this is going to be good. "And in the broad ways, I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Now, here's what she did. She went to the broad ways. She went to the streets. And in a minute, she's going to go to one other place. Here's what happens. Let's start with the streets, place of ministry. She thought, "I can't find the bridegroom in my intimacy time now. Maybe if I get out and start doing ministry, I can please him somehow." Now, I'm not talking about not doing ministry. I'm not about substituting ministry for relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can do ministry much better in relationship than you'll ever do outside of it, out of your own flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I would never go on the streets unless I had been in relationship. It's too dangerous, and if I'm going to be a martyr, I want to know that it's my time to go. Amen?
Amen.
But she's substituting ministry, the streets, thinking that he'll just smile upon her or she'll be rewarded because of that. Did she find him in the street?
No.
Where is he? Where did I just say he went? He's on Mount Bether. He's not on the street right now. So then she thinks, well, that didn't work. I got to find something else. So then she goes to the Broadway, the place of amusement. I just need a change of pace. I just need to get away for a little while. I'm hitting somebody with that. I don't know who, but I felt it.
Hello.
I just need a little time away. "I sought him, but I found him not." Why didn't she find him? She wasn't going where he told her to go. Self-effort always causes us to run to something else, rather, even if it's ministry. This doesn't work, so she goes to needing a change, recreation, get away from the routine. Verse 3, the watchmen, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Who are the watchmen in your Bible?
Intercessors, prophets.
What is their job? Somebody tell me the job of an intercessor. Raise your hand if you know what a watchman is supposed to do. What is a watchman?
Watch
in the natural. Right.
That's what it is. The watchman, the prophetic watchman is not in the church.
That's right. So they stand up in a biblical sense, okay, they have a wall around the city, and then they have these guard towers, and the watchmen stand up there, and they keep guard. But they don't only keep guard about the enemy on the outside, but they also watch the streets at night on the inside.
That's right, exactly.
Amen?
Yeah.
So these watchmen's job is not only to see the enemy coming from the outside, but those little foxes that are spoiling the vines on the inside. Those little places in your own life that are destroying your own vineyard by your own desire to do so. But she goes to the watchman. She thinks, well, they're supposed to protect me and keep me safe. So I'm going to ask them, do you know where Jesus is? Let me tell you something. The Bible hates a backslidden watchman. And she goes to the Broadway, the place of amusement. I just need a change of pace. I just need to get away for a little while. I'm hitting somebody with that. I don't know who, but I felt it.
Hello.
I just need a little time away. I sought him, but I found him not. Why didn't she find him? She wasn't going where he told her to go. Self-effort always causes us to run to something else, rather, even if it's ministry. This doesn't work, so she goes to needing a change, recreation, get away from the routine. Verse 3, the watchmen, that go about, go to the next verse. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Who are the watchmen in your Bible?
Intercessors, prophets.
What is their job? Somebody tell me the job of an intercessor. Raise your hand if you know what a watchman is supposed to do. What is a watchman in the natural?
Right.
That's what it is. The watchman, the prophetic watchman is in the church.
That's right. So they stand up in a biblical sense, okay, they have a wall around the city, and then they have these guard towers, and the watchmen stand up there, and they keep guard. But they don't only keep guard about the enemy on the outside, but they also watch the streets at night on the inside.
That's right, exactly.
Amen?
Yeah.
So these watchmen's job is not only to see the enemy coming from the outside, but those little foxes that are spoiling the vines on the inside. Those little places in your own life that are destroying your own vineyard by your own desire to do so. But she goes to the watchman. She thinks, well, they're supposed to protect me and keep me safe. So I'm going to ask them, do you know where Jesus is? Let me tell you something. The Bible hates a backslidden watchman. Because the Bible says, I think it's in Ezekiel, it says that if you are not watching and warning, that the blood is where?
On your hands.
If you see someone in sin and you don't warn them, the blood is on your hands. These were bad watchmen, and you're going to find out later how bad they are. There's a lot of bad people heading ministries nowadays. They don't really care about the sheep. They only care about their realm. Their kingdom. They don't care who gets hurt. They don't care what gets eaten. They only care about you if you're profiting them in some way. These watchmen have blood on their hands. She goes to the watchman and she says, where's Jesus? Where can I find Jesus? You know what? They don't even know.
Right. Come on.
They don't answer her. They don't even know where she can find him. Or they'll give you some kind of answer that really doesn't fit. Now, this is what she's doing here. She's going to revivals and seminars. No relief was found. She says, well, I didn't find him in the place of service, and I didn't find him on my vacation to the Bahamas. Oh, I know. I'll catch the latest revival in So she goes to the watchman and she says, I'm hungry. There's something missing in my life. I can't get that fulfillment I need. I can't get that strength anymore. I don't feel that personal touch. What can I do? They said, well, listen to my 3-point sermon. Oh, I better go on. 3-4. Rebecca, go to 3-4. It was but a little that I passed from them. Who did she just pass from?
The watchman.
But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him, and a part of this verse is in the next, until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Now, we're going to go through what this means. She had wrestled through the night season like Jacob. Do you remember the story of Jacob where the angel appeared to him and he wrestled the angel all night and he said, I will not let you go till you bless me? She grabbed the bridegroom when she found him and she says, I'm not letting you go. I've learned my lesson.
Amen.
Desperation should turn us into holy terrors and violent seekers.
Amen.
Man,
yes.
What I'd give to have a bunch of holy seekers and holy terrors in my church.
Amen.
People who come in and go, come on, let's go at it. Yeah, let's bring the power of God down. Let's make the devil so mad he even showed up today. Give me some holy tears.
Amen.
Some violent warriors. You'll see something done for God. Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. They were all a bunch of holy terrors. Amen?
Yeah.
They were ready to tear the devil's kingdom down.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah. Amen.
Almost did.
She held him now with both hands. How many remember when I was talking about what the little foxes, one of the meanings for the word foxes meant? Anybody remember? It had to do with a hand. The little foxes that were spoiled of vine, foxes in one of the Hebrew things says empty of hand. In other words, all her time, all that she had done, all herself that she had spent had left her empty-handed when it came time to give to the bridegroom. She had given out little pieces of herself to the neighbor next door, to the video game, to the grocery store, to the this, to the that. And she had nothing left. But she's got time now. She's found time now because she had lost him for a while. And she found him again. Now both hands have grabbed a hold of the bridegroom and she said, I'm not letting you go this time.
Hallelujah.
And I got both my hands on you, and they're not empty anymore.
Yeah.
I'm yours, and you're mine. Her hands were full of grasping. A desperate bride. That's what he wants. I remember one time we were in Seattle, and we were doing a house meeting, and I was playing, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost with it. And this girl came up to me afterwards. She goes, I don't understand. What are you desperate for? She was a church girl. I thought, you really don't get it. She had now let go of all the things that had held her back. The Holy Spirit had conceived her. Now, this is the mother. There is one name of God, one of the names of God, which means the breasted one. El Shaddai. It means the breasted one. It means the Holy Spirit. If you read about the Holy Spirit, he has a motherly type nature. He's a comforter. He's a teacher. Just read all the attributes of the Holy Spirit and you'll see that motherly side. Where you're conceived, Jesus said, you don't understand. I have to go away so that I can send the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because now Jesus wasn't one man walking the earth and you had to be where he was. Now he's the Holy Ghost in everyone that's a believer, and he's everywhere at the same time.
Amen.
If he's in you, he's there. Amen?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit conceived her, and this is where she brought Jesus, her relationship with Jesus, back. She brought it back into the arms of the Holy Spirit where it all began. Her first love. When the Holy Ghost comes down on you and you have vistas and horizons that you have never seen before. I tell you, the Holy Ghost will give you vistas and horizons that you have never seen before. All of a sudden you're full of all kinds of thoughts and ideas, and God is downloading into you, hallelujah, a vision. Now this is one of my favorite verses, next, 3:6. Who is this? Now this is about her, but it's also about him. I'll explain it. Now, let me say this. At another class, I taught about who the great merchant was. Who is the great merchant?
Jesus.
Jesus is the great merchant. You know why? Who went in search of the great pearl of great price? Who was it? Jesus. Who is that pearl?
Us.
And he also was out buying, oh, now it's left me, what the
treasure
other
thing?
Treasure in the field. So he's the great merchant. Okay. Now everyone's looking at her. Who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? She's coming out of her desert experience, her nighttime, having lost his presence, having found him. She's coming out of that thing with, now, many times in the Bible, smoke represents where the fire is. Amen?
Yeah, the glory of God.
It's where the glory of God is. This is where he is. If you want to know where the fire is, follow the smoke.
Amen.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Holy smoke.
Holy smoke.
She's a visible demonstration of the fire inside of her. The fire is in her, and the smoke is what is going up. The presence of God is all over her. The perfume of God's presence is in her, through her, around her, with her. Hallelujah. Demonstrating the presence of God. They don't have exactly so. She's coming out not bitter, not hostile, not complaining about how lonely the wilderness was, but with the smoke of sacrifice.
Yeah.
We get so mealy-mouthed about sacrificing for God. Oh, God, I had to give away my last dollar. I know God sees it. Or, oh, I had to go see old lady next door, fell down, but I know God will reward. You know, stop that craziness. It's in the sacrifice that you're getting your reward.
Yeah.
It's in the giving of yourself that you get that reward. It's when you go further than your flesh would ever desire you to go. It's when you go the second mile. It's when you go and do and be without complaining and without being even inside freely received it, so you're rich enough to freely give it. You are rich enough. Jesus Christ lives in you. You are rich enough to be generous to those who are not generous to you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The smell of her sacrifice follows her. When Lydia got up here last week, and we're going to talk about that, myrrh, how expensive was myrrh? Somebody tell me.
Gold.
That's right. We got that one down, didn't we?
Yeah.
In those days, gold and myrrh was more expensive than gold. But it means what? What did myrrh represent in the spirit form? Anybody know? We talked about it about four times now. Myrrh represents humility. Humility. Say it with me. Humility. Myrrh represents, say it again, humility. Okay. So the smell of her sacrifice follows her. She is bringing out myrrh, which is humility. Frankincense, do you remember when we went down the list of all those? Frankincense means faith. So now she's coming out of the wilderness with sacrifice, perfumed. She comes out with humility. She comes out with faith. And all that Jesus the merchant had given her through this experience, she comes out with it, not just in a bag hanging on her shoulder. It was inside her. She had lost him. She had gone without, she let him go without her up to the mountain of Bethel. And now she's grabbed him with both hands. She's got the holy smoke of God ascending up where people see that she's been in the presence of God. She's coming out of a lonely, terrible time of suffering. Maybe she's been sick for 20 years. Maybe she's lost everyone in her family. Who knows what her wilderness experience was? But she didn't come out bitter or angry or resentful. She came out with the peace and the joy of God, with the desire to let God be God in the midst of her sacrifice.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Now, she is a type of Jesus here. Jesus walked out of this natural history and conquered sin through his sacrifice. How did he conquer sin? Through his sacrifice. He didn't do it in a palace. Jesus said of John the Baptist, "Who did you go out to see?" When you went out to see John the Baptist, who did you go out to see? A man that was clothed in beautiful clothes and sitting in a palace, sipping on lemonade? Is that why you went out to the wilderness to see John? No, you went out in the wilderness because there was something on that man that let you know he had been with God. And you're saying, give me some of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
So Jesus came out of this the same way she did. He walked away from natural history and conquered sin with victory and with a fire of holiness all over him. And he did it through humility and faith, through myrrh and frankincense. And all the powders of the merchant, all the things that he had won so that she would have what is needed for her to come out the same way. There's just two things I mentioned, myrrh and faith, but she gained a whole lot more. We're almost through. I want you to hang on just one more second here. The smoke was God's holy presence and the fire against sin. So the fire that she is demonstrating here shows that God's holy presence is there, and it also shows that she has a fire against sin. Why? Because she had been deceived by it. She had lost the bridegroom through sin in her life, and she had gone through a night season because of it. And now she's not willing to do that anymore. She's grabbed a hold of him, and now she's got a holy fire against sin and everyone else's life too, because she wants you to be an overcomer as she was an overcomer. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. The myrrh was a costly burial spice. The fragrance of suffering and the finished work came at a great price. And all the powers, no good thing would he withhold from them that walked uprightly before him. And that's where we're in tonight.
Hallelujah.
And we'll be almost finished with chapter 3 already. We've gone through it quickly tonight.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you glory. We give you praise. God, people will look at us and they'll go, who in the world is this? What kind of Christian can come out of that situation and have the love and the humility and the faith and all the powers of the merchant? Who is this that can do this? No one else but Christ. and you love us, and I give you praise for that. Now take this word tonight. Take it down into our spirit. Bring forth a crop, O God. Let us be holy terrors and violent worshipers, O God, that come in and will not be satisfied until we find the King in all of His glory. That we will see Him as she did when she saw Him coming out of the wilderness off the cross. When she saw Him in the spirit realm coming off that cross and rising again. Lord, she saw You in a different way. She saw You as the true King of kings and Lord of lords. Who can conquer death? Who else can conquer death? Got a glimpse of this fire coming out of the wilderness in Your life, Lord. She knew that's who she wanted to be. I thank You, Lord, that You're demonstrating Yourself to the bride and You're demonstrating Yourself through the bride. In Jesus' name we pray.